Perdón, me trae mis tajes. tempting to see if I accomplish field. And in a sense, you have to play a very important role. But it's not until you begin to make nothing and shame that you realize how vast it all is. And then you try to tie yourself in any shape or form. You are, to some extent, complicating your own existence and outlook. You've got to realize that you're part of a tremendous, something so enormous that your mind can't grasp it, really. But it's the same spirit, the same power, and everyone is part of it, a minute part, and yet can develop and become a huge part. You must never sort of make yourself feel that you are restricted in a certain direction or with a certain one person. Given and taking marriage does not exist here, as you understand it, but probably for millions of times, you might be maybe caught up with another one person, but you'll still be caught up with innumerable souls, probably millions of souls, from different levels, and you all have in each other to work out your own salvation. If I can use that word, you have to confine oneself in the narrow sense is wrong. I wish people could get that wrong. I don't know how I could explain it. I'm not caught up with any one person. And that sounds a different because I haven't been married, and sometimes marriage is necessary, sometimes it isn't necessary. On the other side, I don't think some people can explain more quickly or be more selfish outside of marriage. And for some people it's necessary. I just think that people haven't grasped the reality of these things, and they try to bring everything down to a material level. We're in a world which is so vast, you can find words to keep it to describe it. That's why we're at a loss when we come back and you say so-and-so, or I'll say so-that, and we have to try and bring it down to your level for you to grasp it. Of course people stay together, of course people are together, if they're happy, and if they can pursue their future, if you can put it like that, on this side, in loving service to humanity, they expand their knowledge and their experience, they widen the horizon, as you might say, but as you evolve, you realize that you're less and less, in a sense, caught up or tied up with any one individual. You're all embracing in your outlook and your attitudes, and I wish I knew how to put it into words. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, no matter how happy two people are in your world, there are still aspects of their nature or parts of their personality that don't blend, that don't sort of correspond. And you learn to accept this, of course, and you atone and you make excuses. But these are only the beginnings, they're only the initial stages of the evolution of the people in question. And you begin to adjust and you begin to expand when you come here. And you may be living a better living with that certain person you've got. For what I suppose you could say an indefinite period of time comes into it, but we're not subject to time. And you lose all the worse of self from the material aspect of self, and you open up your vision to horizons far removed, and really quite frankly, you become more and more, as I should say, perfected, and yet there's always something left to strive for and experience, and sometimes it can be done in cooperation with another one person, sometimes it can be done or has to be done on one's own. Sometimes it's done in cooperation with untold numbers of other people. One's evolution is such a slow process that you're not even aware of it happening in a sense. And that's why to some extent people seem stationary or stagnant, whereas they're not really. All the time movement has taken place, change, but it's so subtle. all the time you're living in your world, you're changing. You're not now what you were yesterday, completely and wholly so. The sacrifice in changing your physical body is a sacrifice of which possibly you're not conscious of as yet in your outlook on your makeup and your temperament. There are many things that are happening, but the sacrifice is so that you can't perceive them. And this happens when marriage, as you tell, is concerned, or living with one person, or being in love with one person. And there are many kinds of love, many forms of love. You can be in love, or you can have a great affection, or the girl will love for someone. People talk loosely about love. A lot of people don't even know what love is. They think they know, but they've got a material conception of it. I mean, there are so many aspects of yourselves that you're not aware of while you exist and you're living in your world. You talk easily and often glibly to life about certain things or certain feelings or emotions. But you know that you can never express yourself, what you feel deep down within you, to another person, no matter how close, how deeply involved or in love you are with that person. There are so many aspects of your inner self that you cannot depict or describe or find words to make another person understand. All you can do is put an outward show and a facade, or whatever you like to call it, of yourself. You depict things, you describe things, you demonstrate in various ways your affection or your love, but you're still only scratching, as it were, the very surface of things, the depth which you feel, and the depth that you know, and the depth that you have within you. You can't even begin to make it aware or conscious to someone. And when you come here, you realize these things. You, for the first time possibly, you are in love. Now this is a funny statement. I'm not saying you're not in love when you're on earth with someone. You can be very happily in love. There's nothing to do from here. The two people concerned who were in love on earth realize what the depth was of that love. Because here you begin to perceive in a greater way than any you could have done on earth. Many of the subtleties that were hidden, many of the things that you couldn't depict or describe, are revealed. Here, the you sense things much more intensely about each other. You're much more conscious and aware. Your emotional field is wider, and your expressions of your feelings and emotions are in consequence much more visible or violent. You know, I just feel that people haven't grasped the immensity of self. What the self is, what it can do, what it can express. It's limited on earth. It must be limited. But over here there are no limitations. That's why there's a greater freedom of expression, a greater possibility of going forward, and a greater understanding of the things that mystify you or puzzle you in many different directions when on earth. Gradually unfold themselves. They don't necessarily happen immediately. The scales don't fall from your eyes straight away. But gradually you begin to see further. You begin to feel more deeply. You begin to sense things that you could never sense on earth. And then as you sense them, so they become visible and take on an aspect or an outward appearance. Things that were hidden, things that were mysterious, become gradually made clear. You, whatever we say to you, we are limited to some extent by the material things appertaining to your lives. That's why when we come to you, we have to be restricted to a certain extent by the very conditions that are created. That's why when you sit, you can completely forget yourselves, or what your desires, or what you anticipate have my hope for. If you can say to yourselves, well, we want to get on to the highest possible level that we can of spiritual awareness and consciousness, drifting away from material things temporarily, we can come on certainly a much better level, or shall we say we can tune in a much better way, and our field of vision is wider from making contact with you, and we can express it out more clearly, more justifiably, the things that we wish to convey and attain to ourselves and our lives, and our way of life and our experience. In other words, to some extent it is true to say that people in any field of activity or any condition of life, one who does in your world or this to some extent, limit themselves and very much, you know, upgrade yourselves. We cannot give you a clearer picture than we do. We may try, but with your help and cooperation and your understanding, and your temporarily shutting the door on material things and the concerns of the material world, and lift yourselves mentally and spiritually temporarily to the level of the consciousness that we have or are aspiring to give to you, nothing is impossible then. The limitations can be broken down, the ceiling can be raised, as it were, of pure aspiration, and our desire to fulfill the task that we set ourselves to do. I think it's true to say that people, unconsciously perhaps, but nevertheless do, limit what we might achieve with them and through them. The power of the spirit is enormous. It knows no bounds, no limitations. But we are limited by the very conditions that are created by you in your material world. It's not easy for you. We don't expect wonders. We don't expect to be able to achieve many things that we'd like to do. We don't blame anyone, and we never condemn, but at the same time we do realize, and you should realize, that when you come into a room like this for contact and communication, for upliftment and spiritual unfoldment and realization of the purpose of being, then it's up to you to discard as best you can, or shake from you, the things that hold you back, so that we have a better opportunity of joining together in a harmonious home, and that we are no longer individuals. We are all caught up together in one power, as one in spirit and in truth. When you separate yourselves, then our work is harder, our task is more difficult. But when you come together as a complete unit, and then we can really work with you and through you and help you, guide you and uplift you and inspire you, and do all sorts of wonderful things which so far we haven't been able to do or achieve. But most people attend circles or go to meetings without perhaps fully understanding or realizing, even with the best intention, oftentimes they're self-centered. It's natural and human in the early stages when you're seeking and inquiring. Of course you want personal conviction and you want personal proof and linking up with someone you've known and loved. This we understand. But there comes a point in time when you realize it's more than that. That the person you've known and loved is also co-mingling with enormous numbers of selves on this side. They are all working together in a harmonious way, not just for one person, but for all humanity. When you come here now, when you come as you do, in hope and in love, you're not so personally seeking as you once were. And although you still love the one person that's here in the room with you, there's a wider realization of the meaning of what everything we're trying to achieve and do. And so it is for the person you know and love that is present. We are all, as it were, casting off gradually some of the shackles and the ties that have bound us, and we're renewing our strength and our vitality and ourselves with a greater warmth and understanding of unity and brotherhood and the power of love in its fullest sense. No longer is it a matter of love or a confined love. It is a love that has outsoured all the material aspects and desires and the physical realizations of the things which have perhaps in some way the county back while you're an adult who forward. The land that you've born, the people that you know that are here, has brought you to us. It has also opened up wider realizations that lie ahead. In that love, and the strengthening of that love, and the bursting of the bonds, if you like, of that love, you have released yourselves in love to a greater understanding of what love is all about. No longer is it a selfish love, as it might once have been, nor is it a confined love, with a matter of conception. It is a wider thing, an all-embracing thing. You are beginning to realize that you are part of a great brotherhood of love, in which all peoples are concerned, and all are working together to open up wider horizons of spiritual understanding and progression for all God's children. In other words, you've started to serve in love, to forget self in love, and to open up the doors that have been shut through ignorance. And the house of God is open to you, and the power in that house is enormous. And it is in that house you'll find your peace, and your happiness, and the tranquility of the spirit, and the opportunity to serve, and to do, and to know, to realize, and to understand the meaning, and the purpose of being. You find love through perhaps, in a strange way, and love for one other person. But they are the key that is put in the door, and it is this door that is opened by that love. This is what you must try to see, that everything that we are doing is to bring you together in a greater harmonious way, so that you can break down the barriers that have been built over the centuries through wrong thinking and wrong teaching, breaking the shackles and the chains of orthodox teachings which hold men down, so that you may be free to see and to know and understand the purpose of being, why you were brought into the world, and the purpose of being in that world, and through love, you are brought into the higher realization of these things. If only people can see that our main purpose is not only to help you individually, but to help you collectively, to help you to find through your unhappiness often, and your desperation, and your, what you term your separation from someone you have known and loved, that we are bringing to you through that sadness and sorrow and heartache and realization and the meaning behind it all. All must die to live. All must suffer to appreciate and find peace and understanding and the realization of what it means to be at peace in the oneness and the quietude of the spirit that we can bring to you and we can give to you, we can strengthen you, we can take away the fear and to some extent materially the unhappiness that you feel, loneliness. When you see yourself not as you think you see yourself, all the one you've known and loved, but as you really are. Individual, yes, with your own personality, still, with all perhaps many of the things that have meant so much to you where another one is concerned, and yet wider, bigger, fuller, with a greater understanding, a greater realization. No longer is it another confined love, no longer is the person just as you remember that person, but a much deeper and a much fuller person, with a greater depth and a greater beauty of character and personality, and a greater joy in our hearts. Our hearts sing with love. And if we could depict in words what our life is like, what the lives and life of the people you've known and loved, if you could see and understand the joy in the hearts, the joy in their lives, the happiness they have found in love and in service, in doing many things which are beyond your comprehension. If you could see their joys and their happiness and their peace, You would see me too. You wouldn't be depressed and unhappy. I know it's human and natural to grieve, but the grief would be taken away. And you know how wonderful it is that they were privileged to come before you. Death is not something to fear, but something to rejoice in, something to look forward to. It's human while you're on earth. The physical side itself, I suppose, to cling and to fight against the possibility of coming here before, as some people say, your time. But what is time? It's the biggest illusion of all. And often those who die young. There is a reason, there is a purpose. I know that sometimes there's things that happen that people just don't understand, and quite understandably, they rail against what they call fate. Or if they're inclined religiously, they accept in a kind of dumb way. And they are still puzzled and say, why does God permit this? So everything that happens in some shape or form, without realizing it, man brings upon himself. You have a war, and untold millions of people die. Many suffer, many are maimed. There's hatred and intolerance abroad. And man has created this situation, which makes all this happen. You may say, oh yes, for instance, this is someone who is completely innocent in every sense, and that they might have had a terrible illness or suffered a great deal. It all seems illogical, and yet everything that happens in your lives, in your world, that is a reason. And everything has been brought into being by man himself. And now there are things that some people can't accept in regard to this, but it's true. Generations of human beings have sown seeds, which may not come into fruition, or come into flower, or whatever it is, perhaps for a couple of centuries. It may seem illogical to say the sins of the fathers fall on the children, and yet it is not illogical. These things do happen. Once you realize that you are all part and parcel of each other, you are all of the same spirit, and it is a fluid mind, if you like, that affects
everyone brings his or her own interpretation
amazing is all I've done. And again, the woman of life is amazing. This can't be sometimes. Others will play nice for me. And the music swells. And has a wonderful power. But that's few and far between. Most people haven't realized the tremendous possibility within themselves. If only they could see that life is an enormous truth. But you have to dig and find, and you have to sacrifice and to give. You cannot do it selfishly. You have to learn how to do it cooperatively. This is a really understanding which we can do in a selfless nature. Obviously, more energy, more vitality, more power is taken. Although it will be replenished. But I want to say, and not a believer, I'm a philanthropist, want to say many things which we feel could be a great value, a great help to humanity. We know that perhaps only a minute number of people who can listen, or even begin to want to listen or understand it. But, of course, our job is to comfort people. It's vital, important, it's essential. But we learn from opportunities where we can, as far as it's in our power, to go into depth on many aspects of life and many aspects of our world here and things appertaining to it. So we have to have the right conditions and the people who are prepared to give and not be concerned with material things or material messages. That's why you're a good circle, that one, you know.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
And the happy times you had together, and the giggles you had over perhaps stupid things or silly things, and sometimes the sad aspect and the problems that you had, and you only can visualize quite likely and naturally your boy as you remember him and the various aspects of his personality and your associations together from birth to the time he left you. That is for you, your son, in the round, if you like. It's as if you can fill in to some extent, and yet you're still left not really knowing. I know this sounds a strange thing to say, and this applies to every human being that has been loved. You know someone very well. You know their living secrets and their little quirks of nature and character and personality. You know that there are some aspects of their character which could have been better. You accept a person for their good and their bad points and qualities, and you love them, sometimes even in spite of themselves. But you still don't really know that person. You know that person to a point or to a degree. But those faculties that you cannot appreciate or understand, that you've never tapped, the resources that have never been touched in a human being. The problems in materialism are such that many people can never ever hope to say fully what they feel or depict or describe what they are or what they know about themselves that cannot be revealed even if they wanted to. It's not a normal in a sense. And thank goodness it is, because if it weren't live, then a few people would laugh. You know, I see there's so many ways in which one can try to understand and delve and find out and dig and research what is there about each one of us. You know, maybe to a point, you know that there are moods. Sometimes I come and I say dark things, silly things, sometimes even rude things. Sometimes I make you giggle, make you laugh, sometimes I keep you in fits or stitches. Another time I'm a bit serious and I can... There are many aspects of oneself, but you still don't really know me. You know little parts of me. And this is what you know about the people you love. This is why love will always overcome all things. When you come here, you'll be closer to your son than you've ever been when on earth, and he will be closer to you, and you'll see each other much more fully. You see, only in your world, it's as if you've got a facade, and you to some extent can control that facade. And sometimes you can say one thing and mean something else. Sometimes you can be smiling at a person, and yet deep down you're not feeling a bit like smiling, and you're putting on a face. People put on a face. They have to learn how to put on a face in your world. It's one of the tragedies of your world, that you have to try to put on a face, to hold yourself together, to keep yourself whole, to just struggle against all sorts of things that happen that you don't even want other people to be conscious and aware of. Indeed, I think it's true to say that to some extent, everybody is living a lie. Very few people are completely honest, even if they want to be, they can't be. You see, if only you could see yourselves as we see them, and we love you for all your weaknesses, and we love you for your strength, and above all, we love you because you're struggling. And when a person's struggling, everyone who has heart, and we all have that, want to help you. We sometimes see humanity as if they're like drowning people who've been shipwrecked. They thought they were going on a beautiful voyage, and everything was going to be marvelous. And suddenly, something happens, and the ship begins to go down, and they're lost. They can't swim. They make the attempt, and they're struggling in the water of life. We look upon humanity as struggling to survive. And what seemed, when you started out, to have been a wonderful voyage, is full of disillusionments and disappointments. Things don't turn out quite the way you think. And it's a struggle and a fight to reach the shore. And the shore is the realm of the spirit, where you'll be welcomed with open arms. But all the time you're struggling in the water, we are there, and we are trying to lift you out and to help you, to keep your head above water, trying to teach you and make you realize the tremendous power of love that supports you and sustains you. Don't get too depressed, don't get too down. Try to realize that behind all the darkness, there is the light. Try to realize that there is the sun that will come forth and illuminate the path. I know it sounds, in fact it's so difficult to put what one feels, but we love each and every one, no matter if they themselves perhaps give the impression, and often they do, of being, well, not a very nice person, if you like. It is our task to help those whose need is greatest. You have seen some light, you have been lifted out of the darkness, and we must struggle to help others, even those, and there are many, whose need is much greater than yours, and you must do in your part what you can to help them. You know, it's so easy to condemn, so easy for you to say, oh, I wouldn't want to know him, I can't be bothered with her. Well, this is human and natural, but Often the person that you despise most or dislike most is the person that needs the greatest help. And this is where perhaps you can do a great deal. Try to put your personal dislike aside and try to lift them out of the mire. I think that when you start to realize the tremendous possibility within those things, the higher you climb, the more necessary it is to hand out help to those on the lower rung. And often a person will climb and fall back a step or two because they're weak and they haven't the strength. We're very anxious that you should help all humanity, and particularly those who sometimes perhaps you feel, well, you couldn't care too much about. It's easy to help those you love. It's easy to help those you like. The people whose help you should give, I mean, the people to whom the help you should give, I often ask them, quite frankly, you've got no time for. They're the ones who need you most. And I feel so strongly about all these things that you come together in love and in harmony and peace. You have an opportunity that others have not had or may not have. Share it with them. And if sometimes you get cross or irritated or annoyed and they don't want to listen, all right, you can't keep on banging your head against the old brick wall, but nevertheless you can keep on trying as best you can. Once you start to give, and I know that most of you do give in some degree or other, and I've talked about material giving in the material sense, but giving of yourselves in love. It's easy, as I say, to love the one that means so much to you, whether it's your wife or your husband or your son. But to love humanity, to love somebody perhaps who perhaps in some way even revolts you. This is real love. Like the Good Samaritan on the road, who was anxious to get on with his journey and saw those sitting by the wayside, the people who had been neglected and who were covered with sores and couldn't walk any further. They had no strength or health in them. The Good Samaritan stood by the wayside and gave them help and comfort and strengthened them and wouldn't go on until they were able themselves to make the attempt. It's easy to go forward when you don't bother about anybody else. And you don't look left nor right, and you don't see because you don't want to see. This is not progressing. Lots of people seem to progress, seem to achieve, seem to become successful, either materially or even spiritually. There are lots of people in your world who are considered spiritual leaders. They've reached the top. But on their way of getting there, how many have they neglected? How many have they ignored? How many perhaps have they ridden over to achieve that ambition? In other words, what you must do is, in desiring to reach a high level of spiritual consciousness and awareness, you won't reach it by being self-centered. You'll only reach it by standing still temporarily to help someone less fortunate. And when you forget yourself, then you'll start to evolve, and then you'll start to be sick to perceive the reality of the spirit and what its power can do and what it can achieve. And then it will transform you, and you'll really make headway on the journey of life. I just love each and every one of you, and I just want us all to be in harmony and to realize the great possibility that we have together, in striving together to serve and to do God's will for His children. We should only do it when we do it in a collective sense. We must forget self in service. And when you forget self, you find your true self, which is the spiritual self. think that I'm just going to push the conference. But no one has any competition.
I think it's a wonderful. You're making all right today, wasn't it?